You're listening to eDurus.com. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi allazeena istafa. Amma ba'd, fa'auzu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ihdina as-siratal mustaqim. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Salah is our direct access line to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is our direct access line that is given to us to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine in this world, someone who is very influential, very powerful, an iconic figure, a man who is known to everyone, if he meets you and tells you that this is my personal number that I'm giving you, you can have direct access to me, and I will also register your name to my phone, and whenever you call me, I will always answer your call. How would you feel? You'd be chuffed. You'd be happy. Subhanallah, imagine how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that He has given this direct line to every believer, man or a woman, direct access line to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is salah, very powerful. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ. In this ayat kareema, in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has directly used the word iman for salah. As in, the word iman has become a synonymous word for salah. A direct substitute, that iman is salah and salah is iman. So in this ayat kareema, what we learn is that the very survival of your iman is upon your salah. If your salah is intact, your iman inshallah will be intact. And this is what we need to understand. And salah is very powerful and a very unique form of worship that is given to this ummah. Why? Because it combines the glorious Quran also, that when you perform your salah, you are also reciting the Quran, you read the Quran, the glorious Quran. At the same time, in salah, you are also reading the prophetic supplications, the dua that come directly from the auspicious mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you have both Quran and the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which is in your salah. And so, bifazlillah, in the last session we covered Suratul Fatiha, What's very important is that, alhamdulillah, we have some understanding of what we are reading in our salah. From Qiyam, let's go to the sitting position after Surah Al-Fatiha. And slowly, inshallah, we will cover all of the masail that relate to salah, including how one should stand, how ruku should be performed. We go towards a prophetic supplication, which is the performance of tashahud when you are sitting. Now, tashahud again is a very important feature of salah. Your tashahud is very, very important. Tashahud means that you testify towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards the risalat, the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the tashahud is towards the end of your salah, so that brothers understand that what is very important is that towards the end of your life, your iman has to be very, very strong, especially towards the end. That everything depends upon your last stage of your life. If you depart from this dunya with iman, alhamdulillah, you have everything. And so the shahadatain is also towards the end in your salah. So understand what is tashahud. Now tashahud is narrated in five different ways in the hadith. And everything has been narrated, of course, through the companions of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So you have one tashahud, is the tashahud of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. We say Abdullah ibn Mas'ud because it is narrated from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala. Then we have another tashahud, which is the tashahud of Ibn Umar. And so this tashahud is narrated from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar. Then we have the third tashahud, which is the tashahud of Ibn Abbas, from Abdullah ibn Abbas. Then we have the fourth tashahud, which is from Hazrat Musa al-Ashari radiyallahu ta'ala. And then we have the fifth tashahud, which is from Amirul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala. So we have five different variant readings of tashahud. Generally, the words of tashahud are the same, but only a few words have been added or have been taken. But generally, the sequence of tashahud is quite the same and narrated by all different companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so very important when we sit down and when we read tashahud, what are we reading? Generally, you won't find people even doing a bayan on this. Generally, you won't find a lot of information except that which we learn in the madrasa, alhamdulillah, which is also very, very important. Understand fiqh also. We will cover tonight, inshallah, the tashahud of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, which is a very popular tashahud. And there is also this very unique incident when we look into the life of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and what he says, how he acquired this knowledge of tashahud directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And so what he says is that I learned the tashahud directly one to one from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he gave me private tuition directly one to one in such close proximity that my hands were between the two hands of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَفِّي بَيْنَ كَفَّيْهِ. That my hands were between the two hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And perhaps if I can just demonstrate this for you, just if you can stand up. And so with demonstration, what happens, that for years it is fixed in your mind. But every time you read tashahhud, you will understand. And so there's a possibility that this was the case. That Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was holding my hands in this way. Or even there's a possibility that it was in this way. But khair, the message is that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's fine, you can breathe. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so close to me. And what he was telling me, that this is very, very important that you understand the tashahhud. Sahaba-i kiram ajma'een would say, يُعَلِّمُنَا التَّشَّهُدْ كَمَا يُعَلِّمُنَا السُّورَةَ الْقُرْآنِ, that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach us tashahhud like how he would teach us the Qur'an. So when we, the speciality of the Qur'an, the exclusivity of the Qur'an is that you cannot change the words. And so we cannot change the words of the tashahhud unless it is directly words that come from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also to memorize the tashahhud, like how we memorize the Quran. And so this is a very important message. That is why in our madrasa, alhamdulillah, it is well established. The children will have to go through this procedure and they will learn the tashahhud properly. And so Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abdullah ibn Masud said, وَكَفِّي بَيْنَ كَفَّيْهِ, my hands were between the two hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he taught me tashahhud. And so he said to me, listen to me very carefully, Ibn Mas'ud. And I have done this mahfuz, I have secured this tashahhud from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an says, that in that same manner, he taught his main students. He taught his main student, Hazrat Alqamah. Hazrat Alqamah is a tabi'i, the one who saw the companions. And so Hazrat Alqamah also sat in the same manner. This was the love that Sahaba-i Kiram Ajma'een had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was their love. That Hazrat Alqamah, he said to him, that like how I have taken tashahhud from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you sit with me and I am going to narrate in the same manner and sequence the tashahhud to you. So Alqamah sat in the same manner and received the tashahhud from Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Then Hazrat Alqamah taught his favorite students in the same manner, whose name is Ibrahim Nakhai. What is his name? Ibrahim Nakhai. And Hazrat Ibrahim Nakhai taught his favorite student in the very same manner, whose name is Hammad ibn Salama. What is his name? Hammad ibn Salama. And Hammad ibn Salama taught his favorite student in the same manner, whose name is Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. Whose name is Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. And so in the fiqh of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, we take the tashahhud of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Why? Because the backbone of the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi is Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was in Iraq. And so that is where these fuqaha and jurists were. So he took all of his masail and the entire fiqh. What we say is that this is the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa. In reality, it's not the fiqh of Imam Abu Hanifa. It is actually the teachings of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. The teachings of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So this is the line. The favorite student of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud was Alqamah. His favorite student was Ibrahim Nakhai. Ibrahim Nakhai's favorite student was Hammad ibn Salama. Hammad ibn Salama's favorite student was Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Rahmatullah Alayh. And his students were later on, of course, Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani, Abu Yusuf, and a lot of scholars. In fact, the teachers of Imam Bukhari, Rahmatullah Alayh, are actually the students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, Rahmatullah Alayh. And so, that is where we get our tashahud of Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And the tashahud is At-tahiyyatu lillah was-salawatu wa-t-tayyibat. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. Then comes the tashahud. Ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And so this is the complete package of your tashahud, which you read in your salah. Now, let us analyze and break up all of the words so that we understand the meaning of tashahud and the message of tashahud. The tashahud starts off with the word at-tahiyyatu lillah. At-tahiyyatu lillah. Now, at-tahiyyat is the plural of the word called tahiyyatun. Tahiyya, and the plural is At-tahiyyat. And at-tahiyyat in the Arabic language means greeting someone or greetings. What is it? To greet someone means at-tahiyya. To greet someone means at-tahiyya. Now the word tahiyya, the root word, comes from the word hayyun or hayat. Hayyun and hayat means life. Hayat means life. Now, in the pre-Islamic era, what would happen is that when they would greet one another, they would say to one another, Hayyakallah. What would they say? Hayyakallah. And Hayyakallah means, may you live a long life. May you live a... Even today, if you go to Arabia, you will still find this quite a common practice amongst some of the Arabs. That when they talk to you, they'll quickly say, Hayyakallah, Hayyakallah. May you live a long life. And so the root words, the word Hayyun, may you live a long life, that is the same word that describes greeting. And so the word Tahiyyatun, inside it, the root word is included, which is life. At-tahiyya means greetings, but the root word is life. Now, of course, when Islam came, everything changed. The manner of greeting, which was Hayyakallah, Sharia, changed it. Although the word Tahiyya is there, Tahiyya only means to greet. But how do you greet? That has changed. You don't say the word Hayyakallah anymore. And so what we say is Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. And so that is the meaning of at-tahiyyat. And so when we read the tashahud, what we are saying is that greetings belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Greetings belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now there's a question in the mind. You see, you can't greet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you greet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You can't say, wa alaykum salam. Can you say, wa alaykum salam? You can't greet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as such. And so what is the meaning of greetings belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Abdullah ibn Salah, a great scholar, he went to ask the great faqih, the jurist, Imam Shafi'i rahmatullah alayh. Imam Shafi'i. That Hazrat, tell me, what is the meaning of at-tahiyyatu lillah? Now the advantage with Imam Shafi'i that he has, being a faqih, he is also a faqih and also a great poet. Or is he? A great poet. And poets are masters in the Arabic language. What are they? masters in the Arabic language. He knew poetry. You still have the poetry of Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullah Ali. Not only is he a faqih, but he's also a great poet. So Imam Shafi'i said to him that you have come to the right man. That you have come to the right man. Being a poet, he said, I am the one who will give you an answer to this. What does At-Tahiyyatu Lillah mean? Imam Shafi'i Rahmatullah Ali gave him an example and said to him, tell me that if you go to visit a king or to the court of a king, the first thing that you do is you give him the royal greetings. You start off by offering him the royal greetings. The royal greeting is very, very important. So when you go to someone who is a king, you might say to him, Your Royal Highness, Your Royal Highness, Your Majesty. These are the words that we use, Your Royal Highness, Your Majesty. How do you address the Queen? How do you address someone who comes here? And when the Lord Mayor came to the center, I said, how are we going to address him? And it was a funny word. It was like, Your Worship something. Something to do with worship. And I said, hang on, I'm not going to say that. That's very much of shirk. But you have different words to greet someone. And so you are now in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your salah. So the royal complimentary greetings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is said by the words of At-Tahiyyatu Lillah. That all greetings belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what it means is that generally a man, when he wants to carry out righteous deeds or engage in good deeds, the tongue is very powerful. The tongue opens the door of a'mal-e saliha, of good deeds for him. If a man is giving a lecture, there is reward. If a man is reciting, there is reward. Reciting the Quran, reward. In your salah, you're reading the Quran, reward. Doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reward. Giving guidance as a teacher, teaching something, that is reward. So your tongue is a very powerful tool that will enrich an individual. And so At-Tahiyyatu Lillah means that all good deeds that are performed by the tongue, all good deeds that are performed by the tongue, by the zaban, by the tongue, all belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so At-Tahiyyatu Lillah is actually telling you that all of the greetings and all of the good deeds that you do with your tongue belongs to Allah. And at the same time, the tawfiq is also given by Allah. Allah gives you that honor. Allah gives you that power so that you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, how many people today are in that state of complete neglect and they are completely oblivious of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they don't remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so At-Tahiyyatu Lillah means all the deeds that you do with your tongue, and so generally it means all the greetings belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that is the meaning of At-Tahiyyatu Lillah. And then after At-Tahiyyat comes Was-Salawat. Was-Salawat means Salah. Salawat means Salah. Salah, your namaz that you're praying. And so your Salah also belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you are doing ruku, you're doing qiyam, you're doing sujood. All that is also for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by saying the word Salah, it means that all the good deeds carried out by the physical body, all the good deeds that is carried out by the body, by this physical body, All that also belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, generally, how do you accumulate good deeds? One is by your tongue, and secondly is by everything that's attached to your body. But exclusively the tongue has been mentioned because it's a very, very powerful organ. And then by saying your salah, because in salah, your every cell of your body is obedient to Allah. In salah, every cell of your body is in complete obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you say salah, it means that every good act that comes from your body also belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after wassalawat comes, wattayyibat. Wattayyibat. The word tayyibat means everything that is beautiful and everything that is pure, which also includes your akhlaq, your mannerisms, your character. You see, someone might be good to you and you might reciprocate and you might be good back to him, but just say someone is not good to you. Someone is not good to you. Allah is saying, even if somebody is not good to you, be good to him, because your good character, wa tayyibat, your good character, everything good belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And wa tayyibat actually means fulus. Wa tayyibat actually means fulus, your money. And because why? Through your sadaqat, through your charity, through your giving in the path of Allah also, a person earns that position that he stands very, very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, As-sakhiyu habibullah. That a sakhi, a man who's very generous, he is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so, three segments have been mentioned in At-Tahiyyat, through which a person does good deeds, and everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Through your tongue, through your body, and through the money that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you. At-Tahiyyatu lillah wa salawatu wa tayyibat. And then thereafter comes what? As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. As-salam is just a unique word. The word salam has got so many derivatives and so many words are made from the word seen, lam, meem. Islam means to submit, to surrender. Again, the root word is salam. And as-salam means peace and safety. Peace and safety. So the translation is, peace and safety be upon you, O Nabi. Peace and safety be upon you, O Nabi. Now, as-salam means peace and safety. If you look into the Arabic language, a ladder or a flight of stairs has also been named as sullam. What is it called?
Sullam.
Again, seen, lam, meem. Now generally, a ladder is dangerous, isn't it? A ladder is dangerous. And anything of seen, lam, meem has the connotation of peace and safety. Now why do you think the Arabs would want to name a ladder as sullam, something to do with safety? It's quite dangerous. But the Arabs were Arabs, subhanallah, they had great pride in the language. They called it sullam, a ladder, so that at the very first point, when a person looks at the ladder, he is reminded that make sure you're careful. Make sure you are careful. So when you say sullam, it's telling you, hang on, make sure that peace is with you all the time, that you don't fall off. And so immediately the name that is given is also sullam. And so the word as-salam is a unique word of greeting, because it is also the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why it is not jaiz to say salam to someone who is not a believer. Kafir ko aap salam nahi keh sakte. Gair Muslim ko salam. You can't say salam alaikum to Mr. John, Mr. Smith. Can you say John? Salam alaikum. It's wrong. Why? Because it is the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for anybody to be the recipient of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has to first walk through the gate of Iman. First, Allah needs to enter before the attributes of Allah take effect in him. And so that is why as-salam is very, very important. It's actually telling you that peace and safety can only come to you by who? The one who is as-salam. And who is as-salam?
Allah.
Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just like zakat. Can you give zakat to someone who's not a Muslim?
No.
Can't give zakat to someone who's not a Muslim. Zakat is only exclusively the right of a Muslim, a believer. And that is haq and that is justice. Why? Just like how salah is exclusively only for the believer. Siyam, fasting, is exclusively for the believer. Hajj is exclusively for the believer. You can live in an Islamic country, but the Muslims of that country will not enforce upon you salah. They won't enforce upon you fasting. They won't enforce upon you Hajj. And so, like how everything is exclusive to the Muslims, the beneficiaries of zakat are also who? Muslims. Why are they the beneficiaries? Because they take control of themselves. When they say La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, they say, Allah, we surrender to you. What you say halal, we take as halal. What you say haram, we take as haram. Now imagine, I as a father provide for my children. If I provide for my children, is that the right thing I'm doing or not?
Yes.
Of course. If I don't provide for my children and I'm providing for the children for my neighbors, what will you say? He's not giving to his own children and he's giving to other children. First, Allah, buy, give it to your children. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing that love, that these are my servants. What are they? These are my servants and they are the first beneficiaries. They are the first beneficiaries because they have accepted halal and haram. They do sajda to me, so they are the people who benefit first. This is something which is very important. And so as-salam is so unique that you can only say as-salam to a person who is a believer. And so you say as-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. I just need your concentration level for a few more minutes, my brothers. Ayyuhan nabi, peace be upon you, O nabi. O nabi, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ayyuhan nabi here is referring to who? Nabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now, the word Nabi in the English language is translated as Prophet. But what does Nabi mean? What is the meaning of Nabi? And subhanAllah, if we understand Nabi, we understand everything. Nabi comes from the root word Naba. Where does it come from? Naba. And in fact, one surah is named after Naba. Surah Naba. عَمَّ يَتَسَاءَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَأِ الْعَظِيمِ نَبَأٌ. And Naba means news. What does it mean?
News.
But the word Naba doesn't just mean news, because news can also be gossip. News can also be gossip. But the word Naba'un in the Arabic language means news that is most important and most relevant to you. Two things. Naba means news that is most important and most relevant to you. And so Allah has given the Prophet a name as he is a Nabi, and what the title that is given to him indicates to all of the humans around that Nabi, that because he's a Nabi, everything what he says, the news that he gives us, is most important to us and most relevant to us. And so whatever a Nabi says cannot be categorized as unimportant, insignificant, or something that is, you know, trivial. So everything what a Nabi says is news, but not just news, most important news to you and most relevant to you. And so that is the meaning of Nabi. That is the meaning of the one who gives you news. And then some of the scholars have said that there's a possibility that Nabi comes from another root word, which is Nabwun. Nabwun quickly means that when something is completely flat and then you have something like a skyscraper or something that shoots up, protruding, something that is uplifted, that is called Nabwun in the Arabic language. And so what Allah is saying, that amongst the class of all the creation of Allah, the most elite, the most elevated, the highest position is given to who? To a Nabi. And so both possibility is there, but the first option is the one that is the general opinion of all the scholars, that Naba means that a Nabi that gives you news that is most important to you and also that is most relevant to you. Now, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan Nabi wa rahmatullah, and Allah's mercy be on you also, O Nabi, wa barakatuhu, and Allah's blessings be upon you also. Wa barakatuhu means Allah's barakat. Now, barakatun is singular, barakat is plural. It is not just the English blessings. It is not just what we say blessings. Barakat means blessings. In Arabic, barakat means blessings that are long lasting. Blessings that are, it's got longevity in it. Barakat means blessings that are long lasting. That is why when you make salam to someone, don't just say, Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. What are you saying? Assalamu alaikum. Don't say Assalamu alaikum. Say by Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Give him the full dua as Allah has mentioned in the At-Tahiyyat. So when you greet your Muslim brother, say to him, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You are asking longevity of blessings for him, not limited. Not limited. You are shielding him with the name of Allah, As-Salam. And this dua is so powerful that you are actually saying that may Salam be 360 degrees around you. What are you saying? Salam be 360 degrees around you. And then the rahmat of Allah covers you from the top. And then every other opening is covered by barakat that is everlasting. What a dua. And when we go, how are you? What's the trend amongst the youth when they go out? What do they say? Something? No, they have a way of saying, huh? What do they say? Not hi, not hi. None of you here are going to say, huh? No, they say something else. Right? Well, whatever. But let us get into the habit of saying Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wallah, we don't know what we are missing. You just don't know what you are missing when you say this greeting is in your salah. And it is so powerful that your namaz begins with Allahu Akbar, and Allah chooses for you to exit from your salah with the word Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. How powerful. That is why some of the ulama have mentioned that if there is takleef upon somebody, if there is takleef upon somebody, then after every salah to read Ya Salamu 21 times. What should he read? Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu, 5 times a day, 21 times. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the barakat of this dua, will remove whatever difficulty that is there. How easy is that? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to his Nabi that peace be on you, the mercy of Allah be also on you, and the barakat be also on you. And inshallah ta'ala, we stop here. Otherwise it'll be a bit too much for the brothers. But this is the message of At-Tahiyyat. So when we are reading At-Tahiyyat, understand that this is a very, very important feature of Salah. In fact, if you miss out from At-Tahiyyat, you will have to do Sajdah Sahwa. If you miss out from At-Tahiyyat, you will have to do Sajdah Sahwa. And we will cover the Masail, inshallah, later on. Because even At-Tahiyyat has got so many angles that we need to cover. So many masail. So inshallah we've started the first section of At-Tahiyyat. In the next session we will complete that. And inshallah look at also some of the masail. And perhaps if there's time, just go over the other At-Tahiyyats, the different words that are there, so that we understand what we are reading in Tashahud. Allah khair kare. اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك يا الله يا رحمن يا رحيم ہماری اس مجلس کو قبول فرما اللہ جتنے لوگ یہاں بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں اللہ جمعہ کی رات ہے یا اللہ تھکے ہوئے ہیں یا اللہ تیری رضا کے لیے بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں یا اللہ ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما دے اللہ ہم سب کی مغفرت فرما دے اللہ ہم سب کو جنت الفردوس دے دے اللہ ہم سب کو جنت الفردوس میں جگہ دے ہمارا خاتمہ بالخیر فرما اللہ جس کی جو پریشانی ہے اللہ یا سلامو کی برکت سے یا اللہ اس پریشانی کو دور فرما اللہ اس پریشانی کو دور فرما اللہ ہماری اولاد ہماری آنکھوں کی ٹھنڈک بن جائے وصلی اللہ تعالی علی خیر خلقہ محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته وأهل بيته أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين